Hey everybody, this is Caleb Watkins with the Paradox College Podcast. Today with me, I have Alyssa Polk and James Lapine, and we're going to be talking about, do we really need the church? All right, guys, what's up? What's up, James? What's up, Alyssa?
What's up, Caleb?
What's up?
So glad we have y'all today for the podcast. How are y'all doing today? Pretty good?
We're doing great.
I've had 4 breakfast tacos today already, so I'm feeling great.
Was that lunch too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Breakfast and lunch.
That's how we did it. That's how we did around the Paradox. Well, anyways, guys, we are doing this summer podcast, and Caleb right now, Caleb Hickson is on sabbatical, so I'm filling in for him, the other Caleb, Caleb Watkins, and I'm filling in for him, and we're doing this summer series kind of about the church and why we need the church in college. Alyssa, can you explain a little bit of why we're doing this series?
Yeah, we just basically have gotten several questions like along the same lines of, do I need the church? How do I fit into the church? What if I'm not like a church person? Does this apply to me in college? So just kind of wanted to address those broad scale across the board. And hopefully that is helpful to people who have been asking those questions and might not have had like a one-on-one conversation with us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. We also wanted to bring on some people around Paradox Church, the people that are on staff. We want them to talk with y'all on this podcast so y'all can hear their voices and what they think about these things. And so that's why today we have James Lapine on our podcast. James, can you explain who you are, kind of your background, what you do at the Paradox Church? Can you let us know about that?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like I'm back in my natural element. You know,
he
I studied.
Loves this.
Yeah, I was a broadcast journalism major at Arkansas State. Go Red Wolves.
Uh-huh.
Not really. I don't actually follow them. but did radio and did podcasts for a while. So it feels good to be doing this with y'all. Let's see. Really broad strokes. Born in San Antonio. So I'm a Texan by birth, San Antonio Spurs fan for life.
Okay.
Raised in Little Rock, Arkansas. We're not getting, this isn't a basketball podcast.
Yeah, I know.
So yeah, don't take that bait.
I'll make my exit.
Alyssa's like, I'm out. Raised in Little Rock, Arkansas in a Christian family. I'm the middle child, one of 5 kids growing up. And yeah, raised in a Christian family in the church. I'm excited to talk about this because we'll get into it in a minute, but didn't really go to church in college. I'd been in and around it my whole life and felt like I wanted to take a break, and I wish I wouldn't have done that. So we'll get into that in a minute. Met my wife in high school. We dated off and on for a while and then decided to get married when we were 22, 23. And we have 2 kids, Ivy and Leo.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in Fairmount. We've been here in Fort Worth for almost 4 years now.
Yeah.
And my role with the church is executive pastor. And so Jim leads us in terms of a high level vision and preaching and where we're heading. And then I get to work with our staff team to make it happen, to be the integrator, the implementer. And so, love my role, love our team, love our church, and glad to be here with you guys today.
Yeah, that's awesome. Ooh. Can you explain a little bit of like, What would your job entail as an executive pastor? Like, are you telling people what to do? Or are you preaching? What is that? Because you have the word pastor in it, but it's also executive pastor. Can you explain a little bit of what that is?
Yeah, sure. I probably preach 2 or 3 times a year, something like that. I like doing it. It's fun to do it when I can. But most of my job is working with our staff, so meeting with them one-on-one to review their work, to help them where they're stuck.
Yeah.
To really try to give clear expectations and clear lanes so that they can run and do the work that they're good at and that God's gifted them to do. It's funny when you get into church world because a lot of different, you wear a lot of different hats. So you're a pastor, you're a boss, you're a friend. And I try to just wear all those hats at the same time, which can sometimes feel like what it might be like to be wearing 3 hats at once. It can feel a little awkward and a little goofy and you look kind of weird, but I don't really know any other way to do it. I don't want to just act like I'm your boss. I don't want to just act like I'm your pastor. And obviously I can't just be a friend, but all 3 of those are important. And so try to do them all.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah, I know you do those 3 really well. From a lot of people on staff, they say that. So super thankful for you, and we're excited to have you on the podcast. Man, to start out, we want to ask you, you kind of hinted at it earlier, what was church like for you in college?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, we were the family that was in church every Sunday, every Wednesday night for youth group. I started leading worship when I was 14 or 15, and so just super plugged in, super involved. And when I got to college, my dad had kind of, it was like an arranged marriage. He had set us up with a church there in Jonesboro, Arkansas. and had kind of just made the handoff. Okay, you know, here's my son. He's coming to school here. This is a good church, so I want to get y'all introduced so that he has a spot where he can be. And I just immediately went back into leading worship on Wednesday nights. And after a couple of weeks of that, I was like, man, I have been doing this for so long. I would like to know what it's like to not have this constantly going for me, which I think some of that is understandable and okay. I think the mistake that I made is I just threw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
And so it was like, well, if I don't want to lead, then I just am not going to go to church at all. You know, the good part of that is that my faith did become my own during the college years, but it didn't really take root until we fell in love with our church in Denver, which is which was right after college.
Yeah.
So I regret that. I was still walking with Jesus. I was still having spiritual conversations. I was still pointing people to the gospel. I just didn't have a group of believers who knew me, who were walking with me, holding me accountable. I was doing freelance Christianity, which I just don't think is how God intended for us to do it. And so, you know, when my brothers, I have two younger brothers, when both of them went to college, I said, hey, make it a big priority to find a church. Even if you're only going to be there for 4 years, even if it's not the greatest church in the history of the world, like, start making that a habit now. And sorry, I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit.
No, you're okay. That's great.
Because what we'll tend to do sometimes is say, well, man, I'm only going to be here 4 years. I'll get involved with this parachurch ministry and I'll kind of be, you know, kind of be doing that. And when I get married, when I have kids, when I have a family, that's when I'll really. And if you just keep kicking the can down the road, you might do that until you're 50, you know? And so start developing the kind of habits and the kind of patterns that are turning you into the kind of person that you want to be, that God's making you. Yes. Start doing that now. You have the ability to do that now. And so start developing those good habits.
That's great. That's great. No, I like how you mentioned, I think for a lot of college students, they do get into these parachurch organizations and they feel like that's church for them.
Yeah.
And so with that being said, what do you guys think? Like, what is the broad purpose of the church? If we're talking about these parachurch ministries and we're saying, hey, these are great, but they're not the church. Well, then, okay, what's the purpose of the church? Who started it? Like, what does it do for us? So what do you guys think about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jesus started the church.
There you go.
Yeah. So there's the Sunday school answer. Yeah. You know, he says that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And so, you know, we see Paul's letters to the churches all throughout the New Testament. You know, we see language in 1 Peter about shepherding the flock of God amongst you. Who is that flock? Well, that's a local church. We see all the one another's throughout the Gospels. Who are you doing those one another's with? Is it just, again, random freelance, whatever Christians you happen to run into in whatever place you happen to be? No, I think the scripture is pretty clear that we're to do that with one another, with the church. Hebrews 10, I think it is, talks about... don't neglect to gather together, as is the habit of some. The church was founded by Jesus, and the scriptural basis for it is pretty clear. Now, parachurch ministries, I think, can be a wonderful thing. My dad worked for one growing up called Family Life. And so I see them as ministries that support the work of a local church. So I'll just roll with the one that he worked at, Family Life. They created resources that were really helpful. If a church wanted to put on a marriage conference, you know, they could go grab the kids. There was something called DVDs back in the day, and my dad made some of them.
Wait, what are
and they?
I can't remember.
It's the same shape as a CD, but it played movies instead of music. And you know, so they could buy the marriage DVDs from Family Life and play those at a marriage conference. So they're supplementing some of the work of the church with the work that they're doing. But they are not the church, and they are not a replacement for the church. Yep. They're a support.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the verse you quoted. I actually have it right here, so I'll read it. That way we can have the whole thing. And it says, "And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." That's Hebrews 10:24-25. And I think this is a good segue to something else we've thought about. So we're talking about the church. We're talking about how it's important to be around others, how to love one another, encourage one another. So Alyssa, I've heard this plenty of times where people say, "I am a Christian. Like, I love Jesus, but like, the church isn't really for me. Like, I don't really, why should I love the church? Yeah. The people there are kind of hard to get along with. Like, aren't they fake? Like, aren't people closed-minded there? But I am a Christian. I still love Jesus.
Right.
So what would you say to someone who's saying that? Like, what would be your answer back to them?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like common in our generation. It's like become a trendy thing, like objectively to, like voice church hurt. And that doesn't invalidate it. That doesn't make it untrue in a lot of circumstances. But there is a degree of like responsibility that we still have for like what we do with that hurt. And so if, you know, you've like been going to church since you were little and the church you grew up in like may have like failed in a lot of ways realistically, or taught really poor theology, I think that there's definitely a place to acknowledge it, but it doesn't mean that you just like disregard the institution that God cares about so much and like says that he wants to establish his kingdom through. And I think that it doesn't mean that you have this free pass to like develop a lot of bitterness towards the church. I think that's a really, really hard line to walk of like acknowledging hurt, but not letting bitterness grow. And so I get that attitude. I think, it wasn't that I like specifically in college was like, oh, I don't like the church, I don't want to be a part of it, but I definitely didn't like pour my life out for the church in college. And I think, especially I went to A&M, and A&M is like tons and tons and tons of parachurch ministries that you can like
A&M
serve
is
through.
A parachurch ministry.
And that's like not even false.
A&M is like the Chick-fil-A of universities.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that's, it's just like, it's true. The Christian university.
Yeah.
And so there were a lot of ways that I was pouring my life out for ministry, but not through my local church.
Yeah.
And that still, I look back on that and I'm like, I don't know what that would have changed about my college experience if I would have done that through the church specifically. But I know one of the reasons, or one of the things that I like missed out on, is just being like under leadership of people who have done this for a whole lot longer. I know, even specifically A&M, like a lot of those ministries are student led. And so you're getting wisdom from people, but wisdom from people who are like a year or two older than you. And so there's just a gap there. And, I tell students all the time, like when they're doing partner reviews, like it is good for you to be under the authority of people who can like hold you to the standard of scripture. And it's like good for you to be shepherded. I think a lot of our generation like despises authority, despises like, especially what they consider a broken institution as an authority above them. And so ultimately what it comes down to is, like Jesus is the head authority over like church elders, and then we get to come under them. And that's a really good thing for us. But I completely understand where that's like also a really hard point when you've experienced church hurt in the past.
Yeah, of course. And like if church is done right, it should be a really beautiful thing, because your leaders are leading because they're following Jesus and they're like to him only that they're leading. And they're not doing that out of power or whatever, but they're doing out of grace and kindness, just like Jesus would lead. I mean, I was, as we were preparing for this podcast, I was looking at this question. And I was like, this is really hard to kind of grasp and think about. So I looked some things up and I saw this video by the rapper named Tripoli. He's a Christian rapper who's also a pastor. Mm-hmm. And he's also an author. He's awesome. But he was comparing it to a family who was adopting a child. And so this family, it's a husband and wife, and they already have two kids, and they're adopting this child. And so when they bring this child into their home, the kid like already really loves these two parents, because these parents like pulled him or her out of like the adoption home, whatever, it was really hard, and he was adopted in this new family, and it was really great. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to have a relationship with his new brother and sister. He's still got to learn how to love them, because that will help how he loves his father. And so he compared this to our relationship with Christ, of Christ adopted us into his family. He brought us out of our sin. He brought us out of this hurt and pain that we're in, and brought us into the light with who Jesus is, saved us from our sins. But that doesn't mean that we can't have a relationship with the body of Christ, with our brothers and sisters in Christ and the church around us.
Yeah.
And so man, I think it's so important that we have this relationship in our church, and that we love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, because like Jesus loved us and pulled us out of our sin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In our horizontal relationships will help our vertical relationships with Jesus. And so if we're a Christian, like we have to love his believers,
yeah,
because they're our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And so as we move on, there's another question that I'm wanting to think about. And James, I think you'll have some really good answers to this, because you grew up in the church.
Yeah.
And when you went to college, you kind of stepped away from the church. Yeah. And so when a student would come to us and say something along the lines of, man, church was awesome when I was growing up. I was there kind of because of my parents. I was born into it. But now as an adult, I want to find myself. So I don't know if I should find myself in the church. I don't know if the church is suitable for me. Man, what would you say to someone if they brought that question to you? How would you respond to that? Mm.
They want to specifically to them wanting to find themselves?
Yeah, like they want to build their own adulthood. They want to find their identity. But they aren't sure if like the identity can be found through their church, because they don't want to be told what to believe or, you know, anything along those lines.
Yeah. Yeah. And sorry about the coughing. I finally got the thing that my family had, and you might be hearing that a little bit. Yeah, I mean, there is a lot out there right now in culture about finding yourself and about finding your truth. And I think I understand where people are coming from with that. In that, you know, Donald Miller had a really good line about in order to love your neighbor as yourself, then you need to love yourself. Because if you don't have love for yourself, then how can you love your neighbor? So I get that concept. And I think we are able to love ourselves as we more better understand our identity in Christ and how much we are loved by God. That helps us have love for ourselves, because we know that it's given to us by God. And so I would start there, because the Bible says in order to find yourself, lose yourself.
Yeah.
You know, the freedom of self-forgetfulness is all about, I'm not going to think less of myself, but I'm also not going to think about myself that much. I'm just going to think about myself less. You know, yeah. I'm going to look at God, and I'm going to look at others and look at myself less. And so I think that's an important concept just to be stated. But then also in a good, healthy church, there should be plenty of space for you to figure out who you are in Christ and to figure out who you are apart from your parents. And there should be all the space in the world for you to process that and figure that stuff out. To try to figure that out in isolation or on TikTok or with a bunch of other knuckleheads is just not going to go super well for you. So find a church where you can say, man, I grew up in church. I'm trying to figure out what this means for me now. And they go, awesome. Can we walk with you as you figure that out?
Yeah.
You know, and can we be patient with you as you stumble around? Mm-hmm. And can we be gentle and compassionate with you as you have hard questions?
Yeah.
And so the issue is not, should I do this? Of course you should. But you should do it in the context of a church where you can trust the leaders to do it with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially people that have walked through life, have been through things.
Yes.
And I think what a cool thing would it be for someone to come to you, James, a young man who's trying to figure himself out, that wants to walk away from the church, and you can be like, hey, I did that.
Yeah.
And it didn't go over so well.
It wasn't great.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't the most fun. And I didn't really figure myself out until I went back to my identity in Jesus.
Yes.
And so for you being executive pastor on staff at Paradox, like what a cool resource would that be for a new incoming freshman to Texas Wesleyan or TCU to be like, hey, James, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
And you can be like, hey, I've been there. Let's sit down. Let's have some coffee. Let's talk about it.
Yep.
Yeah. So it sounds like for a Christian who grew up in the church coming to Fort Worth to go to school, whether it be TCU, Texas Wesleyan, TCC, y'all are saying it would be a really good thing to find a church who loves you well, who wants to hear all your questions, who's not going to turn away from your curiosities or what you should be doing, and will walk alongside you to kind of help you figure out your identity in Jesus. Because, you know, leaving high school and going to college to a completely new city, if you're in a different city, can be really hard. Mm-hmm. I can remember my freshman year at Texas Tech. It wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't plug my school.
I talked about A&M too much.
Yeah, I had to bring Tech out, you know. No, my freshman year at Texas Tech, I just tried to do it on my own and felt very depressed and alone the whole year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I came back and started really pouring into my church out there, Redeemer Church, where it totally changed my identity and who I was.
Mm.
And I don't think I'd be the man I am today without going into that church, getting discipled by a guy who's just a few years ahead of me, who went through the same things and loved me well, mm-hmm. and allowed me to just be there and ask him questions.
Yeah.
And so I think that would be great for any new Christians coming to TCU, TCC, Texas Wesleyan, find a church that's going to love you well and lead you well.
Yeah.
But on the other end of the spectrum, there are some other people who may have never been to church who are coming to college in Fort Worth. So if they haven't been coming to church their whole life, James, mm-hmm. why should they start now?
Yeah.
Why in college, of all places, should they start going to church?
And especially like when I feel like a lot of college students feel like time is a yep. really limited resource. And yeah. so why would they choose to invest exactly. that in church?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Are we talking about somebody who's a Christian?
Man, let's say this person, you know, might be,
yeah.
They don't really know where
they're
they feel.
Sure.
They're
yeah.
not sure. That's why yeah. like they're coming to college and they're thinking, should I go to church?
Yeah.
I'm not too sure about this Christian thing.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of cool. Sounds pretty like Jesus sounds like a cool dude, but should I go to church and waste my time there to learn something I'm not too sure about?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really think there are two options here and not to be too, you know, dualistic about it, but, man, you can go to college and get a degree and keep chasing whatever it is you're after. If you're wanting to be a doctor or a nurse or a lawyer or an accountant or, you know, whatever that thing is that you're chasing after, you can keep checking the boxes on the American dream and find a spouse and find a house and find a dog and find some kids. And you may look up and just say, what was all this for?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the point of coming to church is to find some purpose, to find some meaning, because life is going to punch you in the mouth at some point.
Yeah.
And when that happens, how are you going to respond? And are there going to be people around you who've been walking with you and can help you? I just think building a community now, I don't want to go after Greek life, but like that was the promise to me when I was at Arkansas State was, you know, you're going to make lifelong friends here. And I was like, really, these guys who like blindfolded me and, you know, slapped me during this initiation thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, Pi Kappa Alpha, I'm outing you again, Arkansas State chapter. These are going to be my lifelong friends. Are you serious? You
yeah.
know, like I'm not,
yeah.
I'm not interested in that. So come to church to learn about Jesus, to learn about Christianity, to learn about the purpose of your existence.
Yeah.
And then to create a community that's going to, again, walk with you and help you along the way, because life will get harder.
Yeah.
And when it does, how are you going to respond?
Yeah.
I think church, good churches are forming you into people of strength and character who can withstand the wind and the waves,
mm-hmm.
That can help you build your house on solid rock and not on sand.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that when the hard things come, you're ready.
Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah. And as you were saying that, I was thinking about a lot of things we do in college only happen in college.
Yeah.
So like if you join a fraternity, you're not in that fraternity mm-hmm. after college.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be an alum forever, whatever they say, but you're not going to be going to chapter meetings when you're 68, you know, or if you join an organization, you know, for the university, you're not going to be in that organization
yeah.
for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, I was in a fraternity at Tech. It was Bucks. It was a Christian fraternity and I loved it. And I, you know, I had a great time there, made a lot of friends, but right when I was done, I was done.
Yeah.
I'm not going back to any chapters anytime soon.
Yeah.
And so where is a place that you can put your time in college that will last until you die? That's the church.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say on that, you know, some people might say, well, but you're not at Lubbock anymore. You had to start all over at this new church in
yeah.
Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you learned how to be a helpful, productive church member
yeah.
while you were at Lubbock.
Uh-huh.
And when you got here, you knew how you were gifted.
Yep.
You knew how you could serve. You knew what your role was in a
mm-hmm.
community.
Mm-hmm.
Like you learned a bunch of skills
yeah.
that transferred over. And that's what I love about our college ministry. Actually, hot take. Let's see. Let's eat some hot wings after this
yeah.
or something. I actually think that college ministries that don't sync people up with a local church are more unhelpful than not.
Yeah.
I think you got to be tethered to a local church. Now, sorry, college ministries out there who are introducing people to Jesus and et cetera, like that's awesome, but just find a local church to get them plugged into.
Yeah.
Because like you said, when they graduate, they don't know how to be a church member.
Yeah.
You never
yeah.
taught them. And
yeah.
so they're, yeah. Anyway, Alyssa, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. No, I think I experienced the same thing that you did this year and just like
yeah.
starting over. And I think it is so helpful in that to have like little points of continuity. And so even like all of my roommates went to A&M, and like when I would come home after my first week of being in a new city, like there were common points of, even though we weren't like best friends in college, there's just like common lingo that they would know. Yes. And so I think, yeah, like so much of it is setting up habits to be able to continue when you graduate. And even if that feels really small, I mean, we talk about all the time with college students, like in like conversations about tithing and like giving of their money, like often the response is like, oh, I could literally do like $5 a month. And yeah, it's like just so much more about the habit than it is about anything else. And like if you can, the sooner you can set those things up, like I think I was surprised this year by how many things would come up that I was like, oh, well, I could put this off because of having to buy a new car. Like I could put off giving because, you know, like there's just always something that you can like put off sacrificing for your church because of. And so the sooner that those things like become like an unconscious habit or even maybe like conscious to the point of being sacrificial, then the better.
No, that's great. That's great. Yeah. In, you know, my church in Lubbock, I would have never heard of this church in Fort Worth, the Paradox. I would have never heard of it without being connected to that church in Lubbock and having a good, faithful leader point me in this direction. Because I just went up to him. I was like, hey, I'm going to Fort Worth. I don't really know what's there. And he's like, have you ever heard of the Paradox Church? Nope. And here I am. You know, so.
Sitting in my house.
That's right. Recording a podcast. Yes. But that, I mean, that's a great thing about churches is it's like an overall connection. Like the body of Christ is one and we're working together to get to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so as we're wrapping this episode up, James, do you have any other piece of advice for young students coming into Fort Worth to go to college, you know, just in relation to church or their relationship with Jesus or their walk in college? Do you have any thoughts or advice for these guys?
Yeah, I do. When you're young, it's real easy to rail against things. It feels kind of fun and crazy and, you know, the institution, down with the man. You know, I have 100% been there. I was the kid in high school who was, you know, I got in school suspension and out of school suspension because I was the guy, you know, kicking against the system and found a lot of identity in that. And you can be a really helpful voice. If you see things that are wrong and you point them out, that can be really helpful as long as you want to be a part of the solution. So I'll often, you know, show people this, these four quadrants. One, the first quadrant when you see something that's wrong is you can use your voice and your actions to try to change it. Another option would be grit your teeth and just try to bear it and get through it. Another option would be lower your effort and stay where you are. And then obviously the fourth option would just be to leave. And so don't rail against the system or the institution of the church just to do it. If you see some things that are wrong, man, come be a part of the solution. I was thinking about other analogies earlier. When you get food poisoning, you don't stop eating for the rest of your life because you got food poisoning once. When I sprained my knee skiing in at Copper Mountain, I didn't say, well, I'm done with skiing because I had a bad experience there. We don't give up on things just because, you know, I got in a car crash. I guess I'm done driving. You know, like we learn from things and we grow and improve. But don't, man, don't spend these years just railing against stuff. It may feel cool, but it's ultimately not. Being a part of the solution is what's cool. That's what will bring meaning and purpose in your life. So where you see us messing up, where you see something missing, man, speak up and then help us. That would be my encouragement to anybody.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And you're never too young to have a good voice of advice.
Never.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't let anybody look down on you or despise you for your youth.
That's great.
Yeah, you've got energy, you've got vitality, you've got ideas. Like, come on, bring them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks. Well, I think that's a great place to end. Alyssa, thank you for coming out today.
Absolutely.
James, thank you for doing the podcast. And we'll be back with another episode coming at y'all soon. Thank y'all for listening.
Go Spurs!